Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Defunding police. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, June 8. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
At least two major cities may reallocate police department money after the idea was floated by Minneapolis officials in the wake of the George Floyd killing.
New York City, hit hardest by the coronavirus, begins its phase one reopening today. Meanwhile, here are the locations where cases are rising.
After the startling jobs report for the month of May, what can be expected for June as more states reopen? We'll have analysis.
And Americans respond to protests by coming together the next morning to clean up.
There was one person actually found a very expensive lady's necklace with diamonds in the rubble and made sure to find the store owner to give it back to them. So there's actually, I think, a lot of good people in the world.
Jim Carlton at the Wall Street Journal on volunteerism uniting communities. Protests over the weekend in the wake of the George Floyd killing remained mostly peaceful. Meanwhile, organizers say they plan to continue rallying until they see noticeable policy changes. There were signs the protesters were being heard in Minneapolis, where Mr. Floyd was killed in police custody. A veto-proof majority of the city council agreed to begin the process of disbanding the police department. A plan will be worked on over the next year for what the city council president called a police-free future. Similar sentiment was expressed by Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at a rally in Maywood.
There is no justice without reversing the disinvestment and instead making significant investments in our black communities.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to shift funding from the city's police department to youth and social services. Similar for Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. A U.S. district judge in Denver signed a restraining order barring the city's police from using chemical weapons or projectiles against protesters acting peacefully. Some states are reporting a rise in new cases of the coronavirus as they lift restrictions meant to slow the spread. It's not clear if the numbers are rising simply because there's more testing being done. Data from Johns Hopkins University indicates that California, Utah, Arizona, North Carolina, Florida, Arkansas, and Texas, among others, have all logged rises in confirmed cases. Meantime, New York City plans to begin reopening its economy today in phase one. That means those who work in construction and wholesale can return to work, and retail stores can operate with curbside or in-store pickup. Here's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
New York City had the highest number of cases. New York City has the highest density. New York City has also been the location for the protests with the most number of people.
Arizona, which lifted its stay-at-home order on May 15, had registered one of the largest jumps in cases. Governor Doug Ducey says the increase in cases was related to an increase in testing. Tropical storm Cristobal made landfall over southeastern Louisiana last evening. The National Hurricane Center says Cristobal packed top sustained winds of 50 miles an hour nearing the coast, as forecasters warned that the storm would affect a wide area stretching some 180 miles. People in waterside communities outside the New Orleans levee system faced urgent calls to evacuate yesterday afternoon. Jack Bevan is a senior meteorologist with the National Hurricane Center.
Continue your tropical storm precautions until such time we lower the warnings, which hopefully will be later today. Elsewhere along the track, be aware that heavy rain is likely to come and flooding could occur, and just be ready for that.
The storm is forecast to weaken to a tropical depression by this morning, then move across Arkansas and Missouri by tomorrow into Canada Wednesday. Meanwhile, in Florida, a tornado splintered and uprooted trees and downed power lines south of Lake City near Interstate 75, but there were no immediate reports of injuries. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Will the unemployment numbers for June be as startling as the ones from May? We'll find out July 3rd. Meanwhile, the U.S. jobless rate fell to 13.3%, and employers added 2.5 million jobs last month. Early signs the labor market is mending as states reopened their economies following coronavirus lockdowns. Employment rose sharply across industries, including leisure and hospitality, construction, education and health services, and retail. More from Charlie Gasparino, senior correspondent at Fox Business. Charlie, what do you make of this?
The American economy is resilient, always has been. We should also point out that we literally pumped $15 trillion of stimulus into this thing, from all those spending bills, extended unemployment, the Fed, what the Fed has done. If we didn't get some bang for that buck, geez, we'd be in really bad shape. Yeah. But this is good news. It suggests also that the states, I believe, that took a much more affirmative role in reopening early, helped soften the blow of the unemployment. You know, Florida, you know, is slowly reopening faster. Georgia is, their economies are picking up. We should also point out that not everybody's out of work. I mean, it's an interesting point, and it's scary. What happened here did not really affect the information economy. If you can work from home, someone like I can, doing what I would normally do in the office, if you can do that effectively at a company that makes money, which we do, which Microsoft does, which Facebook does, which Apple does, which Amazon does, you know, you can survive this out pretty easy. But this really is going to hurt the average guy that works in a restaurant, and those are often immigrants and poor people, and that's where this thing is going to get really nasty.
All right. That said, I'm going to presume that the White House might argue, hey, before the pandemic hit, the jobs numbers for blacks, Latinos were higher than they'd ever been.
Yeah, and it's a good argument, too. I'm just saying that those are the people that were got impacted by, you know, the types of businesses that really took it on the chin by the slowdown. And, you know, whether they're going to come back online and get jobs, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, restaurant industries are opening up in a very piecemeal way. Connecticut, I just noticed, is not reopening restaurants, and they're going to do sort of a phased-in reopening until next week. So, you know, but Florida looks like it's starting to open. It opened last week, I believe, or a week before. So that's the type of thing. I mean, you know, it's really interesting. If all you do is work from home, right, you don't go out to eat as much. That's not going to happen as much, even as we reopen. And there's still going to be a structural unemployment for those folks.
Yeah. How much are the numbers affected by, say, people who chose not to go back to work because their unemployment benefits were better than the minimum wage they were making? I saw a story about a restaurant in Washington, D.C. He was planning to open his 28 guys back and initially going to hire half. And some of them said, yeah, I'm going to wait this out. The benefits are pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that does, those benefits get filtered back into the economy, by the way. You know, I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's an unproductive use of capital, but, you know, that's the whole thing about fiscal stimulus. It does come back
still
to the economy.
Spent, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the guy will find people to work for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just think that's one of the problems when you make unemployment insurance more profitable than going to work. You know, you're going to have an issue. But one of the things about at least the Trump economy, you know, after, you know, before, I guess, February of this year, was that those wages were rising on the low end fast enough that unemployment wasn't a good choice, right? We need to get back into that group.
Yeah. We're speaking with Charlie Gasparino, senior correspondent at Fox Business, talking about the May jobs report. Since May was so good and completely surprised analysts with 2.5 million jobs added, does it logically mean that June will be decent since more reopenings are happening kind of as we speak?
You would think so, but there's nothing logical about this. There's a whole unknown whether people will go out to eat at restaurants. I mean, I can make the case that they will, and I can make the case that they won't. Although the anecdotal evidence suggests that people want to get back to normal. I was just reading something about Vegas starting to reopen and how you know, people are flocking to downtown Vegas. That shows you that we might have to err on the positive side here, because people do want to get back to doing what they were doing.
Thanks, Charlie. Charlie Gasparino, senior correspondent at Fox Business. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Congressional Democrats are coming out today with legislation to overhaul police accountability. The Justice in Policing Act would overhaul legal protections for police, create a national database of excessive force episodes, and set new standards for police training. The legislation would also make it easier to prosecute officers who are involved in misconduct knowingly or with reckless disregard.
Number two.
Ex-Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin, who pressed his knee on George Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes as Floyd begged for his life, will make his first court appearance this afternoon. Chauvin was arrested last month and charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. Last week, prosecutors added a second-degree murder charge.
Number three.
Authorities say a man drove a car at protesters in Seattle last night, hit a barricade, then exited the vehicle brandishing a pistol. At least one person was injured. The Seattle Fire Department says the victim was a 27-year-old male who was shot and taken to a hospital in stable condition. Protests spread around the globe over the weekend, from Berlin to Paris to Sydney. In the UK, a statue of slave trader Edward Colston was torn down and thrown into Bristol Harbor by protesters. The bronze statue was erected in 1895, more than 150 years after Colston's death, and 88 years after Britain abolished the slave trade. Colston played a key role in the Royal African Company, a 17th-century slave trader responsible for transporting around 80,000 indentured people to the Americas. After 3 months of a coronavirus crisis followed by protests and unrest, New York City is trying to turn a page as a limited range of industries reopen today. Construction, manufacturing, wholesalers, and previously non-essential retailers can resume work with restrictions. Shops can reopen for delivery and pickup. The latest run on supplies during a pandemic? Tents. Tent suppliers across the country say they are inundated with calls from restaurants and retailers that hope to move business outside and lure customers as lockdowns ease. In April, customers at 40 retailers, including Walmart, eBay, and Home Depot, spent 47% more on party tents and event canopies than they did a year ago. Delta says sales are growing for the first time in 5 years.
Wow. Jeez. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. Protests and looting and arson and property destruction that were occurring nightly across America have been followed by a different phenomenon the following mornings. Volunteers swooping in to clean up the garbage, debris, and graffiti often left behind. Jim Carlton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says in communities from California to Florida to Rhode Island, people are showing up with brooms, shovels, and paint to help damaged businesses and neighborhoods. Jim, what are you hearing?
You know, I heard about it first on Facebook. I have some friends on Facebook, and one of my friends in Long Beach said, oh my God, my son was going to go down and volunteer to clean up from the looting in downtown Long Beach, and they turned him away because there's already, you know, hundreds of people had shown up. And I started checking on Google and just around the country, and Providence, Rhode Island, the mayor was calling out the volunteers for a good job. Chicago, Minneapolis, San Francisco, Oakland, you name it. It's just a very heartwarming story at a time when we need it.
And so are people just showing up with a broom and a shovel, or is this coordinated in some way, shape, or form?
Well, it's coordinated. I mean, for example, in Long Beach, there was actually a business person who his business wasn't looted, but he's part of the community. And as riots and looting were still underway this past weekend, he started an event on Facebook, you know, called Clean Up Long Beach. And by the next morning, there were 2,000 people that had shown up. And people were coming up with trash bags. They were coming with shovels. They were coming with brooms. Somebody brought pizza. Somebody brought donuts. And this has played out around the country. I mean, some people show up on their own. Others are organizing, like Long Beach. But it's the common denominator is the, people mess it up. More people come in to clean it up.
We're speaking with Jim Carlton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, about his piece entitled Each Morning After Protests, America Cleans Up. There was a guy, too, toward the tail end of your story. I thought it was interesting. He initially wasn't sure about going, and he went, and I think he said the next day he was all jacked up about going again. I guess it was just making people feel good, too.
Yeah, exactly. This is a guy who is the president of the Downtown Long Beach Alliance, and he was just feeling just down because more than 80 businesses were just pillaged in downtown Long Beach last weekend. And so he was just really down. We saw the shattered glass, people running with jewelry and that kind of thing. And but the next morning when he just saw, they met at a place called Harvey Milk Park, and people had set up tables. And there was one one person actually found a very expensive lady's necklace with diamonds that, in the rubble, and made sure to find the store owner to give it back to them. So there's actually, I think, a lot of good people in the world, Gordons, and this is proof of that.
Thanks, Jim. It's Jim Carlton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's clear the air, literally. I'm talking about Molecule. It's air purification reinvented for every room in every home. It's not just an innovation for existing technology. It's a scientific breakthrough in air purification. Molecule's core technology, photoelectrochemical oxidation, or PECO for short, doesn't just collect particles on a filter. It actually destroys harmful pollutants in the air, like viruses, bacteria, mold, and chemicals. The patented PECO technology in all Molecule devices helps reduce risk of exposure to viruses in the home or workplace, something more vital now than ever. Whether you need the Molecule Air for large spaces or Air Mini for small rooms, pick what's best for you or create a discounted bundle to help protect your entire home, office, or medical or dental practice against pollutants. For 10% off your first air purifier order, visit Molecule.com and enter Gordon at checkout. That's Molecule.com. Molecule.com, and at checkout, enter Gordon.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, June 8. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Hard-hit New York City begins its first phase of reopening today. CNN says President Trump may address the nation on race and national unity this week. Tropical storm Cristobal made landfall over Louisiana. A man arrested and charged with first-degree murder for the death of a retired St. Louis police captain during riots and looting. New York Times editorial page editor is resigning over anger inside the company over the publication of an op-ed by a Republican senator. And a wallet full of thousands of dollars in cash is returned to its owner. That story in about 20 minutes. Whether you're a freshman coming to college or a returning student, there isn't much certainty about the fall semester when it comes to things like if courses will be fully online, largely in person, or some kind of hybrid. That said, students and families can control how they react. The unknowns have some students considering taking a gap year, transferring to a different institution for a period, or even changing their college choice overall. Here's how to collect your own data for an informed decision from Jillian Berman, reporter at MarketWatch. Jillian, help us out.
Take a minute and, you know, kind of reflect on what is important to you and what you are worried about or thinking about. So, you know, for a lot of students and parents, the idea of living on a college campus in the middle of a pandemic is concerning. So, you know, if that's the case, they want to ask specific questions about what are the residence halls going to look like? What is my room going to look like? What are you going to do if I get sick? You know, things like that to get a little bit of peace of mind.
Yeah. All right. So on that note, then, what happens if you do get sick and you're on campus?
Yeah. So a lot of schools that are planning to reopen, at least in some capacity, have posted plans online for how they are going to handle certain things. It's a good idea to read those if you have a specific school in mind. But in addition, you know, sort of public health groups have been making recommendations to universities. And, you know, one of the things they say is if you are going to reopen, you need to have a plan for isolating any students who are sick or have been exposed to symptoms, or have been exposed to someone sick, excuse me.
Mm. You also might have the situation, I think you pointed out in your story, maybe one student refuses to wear a mask, for example. You know, then what?
Yeah, so I spoke to a doctor who is sort of leading a task force advising universities on reopening, and she said, you know, that's an important question to ask. We know that people have had different opinions on the various restrictions, and it is possible that some students, might not listen to the guidance, and so you need to ask your university how they're going to handle a situation, you know, where a student doesn't wear a mask or they don't stay far enough away or things like that, and how they're going to protect other students if that happens.
We're speaking with Jillian Berman, reporter at MarketWatch. Her piece is called "Before Deciding Whether to Attend College This Fall, Here Are All the Questions You Should Not Be Afraid to Ask." Another one, too, what will the impact be on expenses? Explain that.
Yeah, so that is a huge question. Obviously, college costs are always a huge question, when you're considering schools. But right now, number one, a lot of families' financial situations have changed because of the, the sort of accompanying economic downturn. And colleges are not always going to be delivering the same products that we're used to. So you really need to kind of hammer out your financial aid package and make sure you really know how much you're paying and what you're paying for.
Yeah. In fact, I just got the FAFSA email saying, hey, update it, pay attention if things have changed over the past couple of months. And what about those changes to, say, the academic experience that you're right about? I guess, should we as parents and students be expecting a new environment or a different experience?
Yeah, I think, every person in college leadership that I've spoken to, even ones, where they're planning to reopen in some capacity, is saying this is going to be, a totally different experience than what students have had in the past. So I don't think there's going to be very many schools doing large lecture style classes. They might be moving those online and having some smaller, moving smaller classes into those lecture halls to create social distancing. And then, there's the schools that are doing the bulk of the teaching online. And for a lot of students, the move to online this spring was really challenging, either because they don't learn best that way, or in some cases, they may not have regular access to internet, or they may rely on tutoring resources that are easy to, are easier to access in person. So if that's the case for you, then you should really think about what you need to be successful as a student and compare that to what your school is offering before you decide to go back.
Thanks, Jillian. Jillian Berman, reporter at MarketWatch. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's hard to believe I'm saying this, but it turns out there could be such a thing as too much pizza. One man in Belgium thinks so, as he's been tormented with delivery drivers knocking at his door to drop off pies he never ordered for more than a decade. Jean Van Lendehem says delivery drivers bring pizza to his door at all hours of the day and night, and he has no idea why. It's gotten so bad that the 65-year-old says he gets the shakes every time he hears a scooter coming down the street.
Wow.
The apex of this phenomenon came on the day last January when he says he had 10 different delivery drivers come to his place on the same day with one of the deliveries for an astonishing 14 pizzas. Thankfully, he's not had to pay for any of the pizzas yet because he always refuses the orders. But as you can imagine, the situation is frustrating for both him and for the restaurants.
Hmm.
And how on earth the restaurants have not caught wind of this yet? That was going to be your next question.
My hands up. Like, how does this continue to be a problem?
Yeah, his address should be flagged,
right?
Should it not?
Right.
Anytime anyone orders a pizza for this address, it should not be allowed.
Right.
And it is Belgium. I can't imagine there are that many pizza places in Belgium. I've not been to Belgium, but I can't imagine there are that many pizza places that someone could go around to, 100 different places and order for this guy for 10 years, over a decade.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
What they developed a couple of decades ago was software.
Yes.
Yeah, Belgium should consider this in these pizza restaurants.
Yeah, or even...
As you said, the address becomes flagged,
right.
And then maybe this poor guy just gets a courtesy phone call.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Van Lendehem, did you order 14 pizzas?
Even before,
no, live alone, and I'm not having a party today.
Even before the software, they developed sticky notes. Just write the guy's address down and put it by the phone. I mean, that's what we did in the old days, right?
All you drivers, check the sticky note on your steering wheel before pulling away.
And then imagine he does get the craving for pizza, right? It becomes a whole ordeal. Yeah. Like, how does he have to prove that you're actually really the guy?
Can I have one plain pie? No, Mr. Van Landingham. Yeah, we know this is a joke, right?
Ha ha, good guy. One. You're not going to get us again. That's right. And from delivery to drive-thru, as you wait in a long drive-thru line in places where counter service is limited, be sure you have all your paperwork in order. One British man learned that lesson the hard way as he had his vehicle seized while idling in a McDonald's drive-thru. Authorities noticed that the car was uninsured and wasted no time impounding it. The restaurant had just reopened after being closed for 3 months due to the pandemic. Local authorities shared a photo of the car on Twitter and tagged it with the hashtag One Big Mac and Insurance Please.
Nice.
This is not the first time we've done stories from Britain where, you know, apparently, you know, if we think they're very heavy-handed about insurance here in the U.S., normally here you don't have insurance, you get like a ticket.
Yep.
In Britain, if they notice you don't have insurance, they take your car away. So you have to be very, very careful there. And I guess apparently can't even go get a Big Mac without having to see who's around you.
Next time, take the bike.
Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe the car was home for a while during, you know, didn't drive much, and now, you know, maybe let the paperwork lapse, the insurance lapse, maybe didn't realize it. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah, well, that is a big
to help this guy out.
It's in the UK. It seems like a big roll of the dice. You're not just going to get a ticket and then be able to drive away and with a promise of, oh, I'll get it updated tomorrow.
Yeah, no, they don't play around there.
The car, man. Thank you, Mike. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Instacart is changing its tipping policies as of today, trying to crack down on customers who take advantage of the system through what's called tip baiting. This is when shoppers are lured in with a big tip, which the customer then changes or removes after delivery. In a blog post, the company said the number of customers who frequently remove their tip is very low, but added, "We take the well-being of our shopper community very seriously, and it's important to us to maintain the integrity of the Instacart platform for all members." Starting today, Instacart will require customers to leave feedback if they decide to remove the tip after delivery and share it directly with shoppers in the coming weeks. The company will also deactivate the account of any customer who repeatedly engages in tip baiting. In addition, the company will reduce the tipping window from 3 days to 24 hours starting today to allow Instacart shoppers to earn their money faster while continuing to give customers flexibility. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Calls for deep police reforms are gaining momentum as leaders in the city where George Floyd died are pushing to dismantle the entire department. Majority of the Minneapolis City Council vowed to scrap the 800-member agency. City Council President Lisa Bender says efforts at incremental reform have failed.
Number two.
Utah Senator Mitt Romney marched in a protest against police mistreatment of minorities in the nation's capital, making him the first known Republican senator to do so. Romney was asked by a Washington Post reporter why he was marching.
And violence and brutality, and to make sure that people understand that Black Lives Matter.
Romney was walking with a Christian group.
Number three.
The sudden outbreak of large protests is coming at the same time governor and mayors across the country are working to implement more aggressive testing and tracking programs to combat the pandemic, complicating their efforts. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is encouraging all protesters to get tested for COVID-19.
We are concerned that those protests may have increased the spread of the virus. We're going to do 35,000 tests per day just in New York City.
New York City begins phase one of its reopening plan today. The FBI and local investigators are trying to determine a possible link between the ambush-style killing of a Northern California sheriff's deputy Saturday and that of a federal officer who was fatally shot outside the U.S. courthouse in Oakland more than a week ago. Both involved shooters in a van. A Santa Cruz sheriff's deputy was killed and two other law enforcement officers were wounded when they were ambushed by a suspect who is a member of the Air Force. The suspect suspect Steve Carrillo was shot during the arrest and is being treated at the hospital. Cristobal weakened to a tropical depression this morning after crashing ashore as a tropical storm in Louisiana, sending waves crashing over Mississippi beaches, swamping parts of an Alabama island town, and spawning a tornado in Florida. Heavy rainfall and a storm surge pose a threat in the Florida panhandle. Sotheby's will offer an unusual self-portrait by Rembrandt, one of only three in private hands, in London on July 28th. Self-portrait wearing a ruff and black hat believed to have been painted in 1632 when the Dutch master was 26 is expected to sell for between $150 and $20 million.
Man.
He's it's a very famous painting. You know, the one you have to look at it. It's very famous.
He's looking down now going,
why couldn't I have that?
150 mil now? Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, a wallet with thousands in cash is lost, then returned. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/gordon to start shaving better today. Glad you're with us. A woman in Canada says she was overwhelmed with relief when a wallet she lost at a Walmart store was returned with its contents. More than $5,000 in cash still intact. River Johnson of British Columbia said she returned home from taking her elderly parents shopping at Walmart before she realized she no longer had the wallet, which contained cash from her two cannabis stores. UPI says Ms. Johnson called the store, even though it was closed at the time, and was relieved when an employee answered the phone. She was told not to worry, that the wallet was being stored for her in a safe. Ms. Johnson returned the following day and was told that a manager had found the wallet and stored it in the hopes of its owner returning to claim it. She said the manager saved her business. She said the manager also told her Walmart policy forbids him from accepting any rewards for his deed. Ms. Johnson says, "This is way more than luck. This is angels at work," calling the manager an unsung hero. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.